Well, the presents are wrapped, the wine's been served, and we have a sick bucket by our chairs because this special Christmas edition of Literary Loitering also incorporates the real most wonderful time of the year, the Bad Sex Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray!
Yay! Hooray! The juices are gushing and the fingers are flushing.
Oh, God.
No, I'm gonna be like a Victorian period gent. Huzzah!
Yes, joining us for this very special occasion is Andrew.
Hello, that's me.
Sarah.
Hi, that's me, the lady.
Rob.
Hi, that's me, also the lady.
That's
and
okay. And
Graham, who hasn't decided yet. Yes, this is the Geek Show's dedicated arts and books podcast, and I think one thing that you can say about this episode is this is pretty solidly book-focused. We're not normally that good.
This is true. We've got a lot of actual book content this week.
Yes.
But we don't know what that content is. Well, each of us knows one of the books, and that's it.
I mean, for one of our segments, for the other segment, one of us is cursed with horrible, horrible knowledge that he will have to share with everyone else.
Some or all of us may have an impending sense of doom.
What was the? Was it Cassandra? Was it who was cursed with foreknowledge?
Not being believed. Yeah.
I think Andrew's got the kind of Cassandra feeling right now.
Cassandra.
Yes.
Cassandra, if she was also holding Pandora's box. Pandora's box was just filled with white, sticky liquid.
Got to say, I don't remember this series of Only Fools and Horses, but if it happened, it happened.
That was getting quite graphic pretty early on in the show.
Yeah, yes. Remind me never to buy any of their jewellery.
Or books.
I need to ease you guys gently into what's going to happen.
Oh,
unlike
God, that was
all
gentle.
Of the authors.
Okay, so what are we doing first?
We've got to do Bad Sex in Literature Awards, isn't it? It's the Literary Review's annual award ceremony, which has been going for so long and given us so much delight and made Morrissey an award-winning author.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's a bad award, it's still an award.
It's nice to be noticed. But yes, if you haven't heard us take this on before, we generally prefer the sort of dramatic reading approach where Andrew reads out excerpts from all of the nominated books.
You lucky, lucky man.
This section is why I drink.
Before we go in, could I just... Right. I know the authors who are in the list. I don't know the excerpts. Kept away from that because I want a genuine surprise. But one of the authors stood out for me, and I was severely disappointed. Haruki, what are you doing on this list?
Yes. Well, they have had a bit of a history of nominating what you might call canonical authors. I think Martin Amis got a nomination for Yellow Dog, if memory serves. I'm sure there have been plenty more.
Yes, he did, but it's Martin Amis.
Yeah, it's true. It's shocking when it's someone who's good.
I mean, if it was Kingsley, then I'd be slightly more shocked, but no, it's Martin, so I'm like, yeah, okay. But Haruki Murakami, who's he's been nominated for the Nobel Prize for Literature how many times?
Gosh, lots. Did I ever tell you that Clara Hoop from 80s Private Eye about Martin Amis?
Don't recall it.
His father's name is a help to Martin Amis, but even more for Oberon War.
I like it.
But, I mean, Murakami is a hugely acclaimed author who many people quite reasonably love. So this is...
Oh, if you're one of them, you're in for a treat.
I think we've just queued Andrew up.
Shall we start with Mr. Murakami?
Yes,
oh, yes,
please.
Who
was, I will reveal, was just one of this year's runners-up.
Right. Mm.
This is from Killing Commendatore by Haruki Murakami. My ejaculation was violent and repeated. Again and again, semen poured from me.
Oh, for God's sake.
Blowing her vagina, turning the sheets sticky. There was nothing I could do to make it stop.
Really?
I'm pretty sure this is a sketch on Chris Morris's Jam.
I don't want to know about Chris Morris's Jam, not after this.
If it continued, I worried, I would be completely emptied out.
God.
And now, here comes the punch. Yuzu slept deeply through it all, without making a sound, her breathing even.
Isn't Yuzu a type of fruit?
Her sex, though, had contracted around mine and would not let go, as if it had an unbreakable will of its own and was determined to wring every last drop from my body.
Right, so we've got okay. The sleeping woman with the magnetic vagina and the man who's just flailing around like an out-of-control hose pipe.
And has slept with a woman who is asleep?
Yes, which is not normally called sleeping with, isn't it?
No, there's
a word for that.
We have a consent problem there.
Yes. Number one is consent. Number two, I thought yuzu was a type of fruit. Isn't it like a lemon? It's similar to like a lemon and grapefruit combined, isn't it?
I mean, we've all seen Call Me By Your Name, right? She could be a fruit.
Yeah, surely this is slightly less troubling.
Yes.
Doing it to like a giant lemon.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed that he didn't embrace the slapstick opportunities offered by the man who cannot stop ejaculating.
See, you know those,
my God, that you weren't just being fun. That was literally a Jam sketch, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes.
You know those inflatable men outside those garages in America, you know? That...
Yeah, that crossed with one of those old silent short movies where the horse pipe goes out of control.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I've got a picture of Little Britain in my head and the vomiting ladies. Just, yeah.
I also am thinking of vomiting.
Well, you better be made of sterner stuff because we've got miles to go yet before we sleep.
Oh, the other thing I was thinking about, of Harumi Murakami was the journey between like him starting off this sexual encounter as a fresh-faced young man and then at the end of it, some kind of wizened old raisin.
I'm just where all the moisture's been sucked out of his body.
Yeah, oh, God. That was the thing.
I never imagined...
He's been vacuum packed.
No, desiccated. He's been desiccated.
Desiccated.
Just like the coconut.
Oh, the guy out of Seven.
It does sound like an excuse that's going to be used in court, doesn't it? Not my fault, officer. She clamped down on my penis and wouldn't stop until I was completely drained.
Yeah, that's a whole, like, school of psychotherapy right there.
Yes, and I'm going to need it.
Shall we move on to our next runner-up?
Go on, then.
This is Kismet by Luke Tredget. She shuffles her head closer to his cock, close enough to smell her own residue, and then takes it in her mouth, with the vague idea of cleaning it.
Only a vague idea.
And sexist. Clean your own cock.
And surely if she's going to clean it properly, she'd get, like, you know, the bleach spray and maybe a scour.
Yeah, I think she'd just get a buffer cloth and just buff it.
I like the idea that this sex is so memorable that halfway through she thought, shall I give him a blowjob or maybe just get the Mr. Sheen out?
But who is this titan of manliness, might you ask?
Wasn't at the forefront of my mind, but carry on.
Jeff! mirrors this gesture by burying his head between her legs. And gradually, she can feel his cock pumping with blood, one pulse at a time, until it is long and hard and filling her wide open mouth. Which surely would mean it would have to expand with...
It's
not balloon.
I pulled the rip cord.
I'm actually terrified she's going to start making animals out of it.
Well, it's that would be
that awful squeaking noise all the time.
Well, they'll need to do something because they stay in this position for a long time and are sucking and slurping with the same lazy persistence you'd use on a gobstopper or a stick of rock. Eventually, she loses her sense of context altogether of what she was doing or who she is. Oh, my God. And becomes an empty vessel for what feels like disembodied consciousness. She looks at the window and wonders how the glass feels in case there is wind there. Shaggy clouds feel like being blown across the sky. The walls felt like being splattered and smeared with wet paint.
The sex was so good, I began to meditate.
Yeah, I was thinking Zen, but then I realised it was just abject boredom. That's the trouble, both of them are distracted.
That's absolutely incredible, and I like how they started mentioning gobstoppers and stuff, because both of these, I want to say entries, they both feel like they've been written by, like, a 10-year-old who's just got the talk from their parents.
Aww.
I'm terrified about the gobstopper and stick of rock, because at some point on both those sweets, you start crunching.
Poor Jeff.
And if she's distracted by thoughts of shaggy clouds and walls covered in paint...
Why is it funny that he's called Jeff? I know it is.
Because it's like the least sexiest name.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Technically also the god of biscuits.
Jeff, the god of biscuits, yay!
It makes me wonder if the book is actually an a sort of adult fanfic of Sweet Bro and Hella Jeff. I'm quite pleased with that. I think that was a very unexpected cultural reference.
Yes, it was.
I'm amazed. The things that I did not expect to intersect with Graham's interests. Lee Bro and Hella Jeffer.
Look, I need someone to warn me about the stairs, okay?
Shall we move on to our next literary titan?
Let's push forward.
Push on right to Grace's Day by William Wall.
That sounds nice.
He's almost weightless. When he enters me, it hurts, and my pain belongs to the subterranean world, primitive as the clay. His body is slacker than I expected. A small paunch begins at his waist. It settles in a downward parabola.
Oh my god, he literally is one of those big inflatable men outside garages.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the parabola.
I know, parabola. That's not even the end of the sentence, but just... parabola. To his groin.
The sexiest of all geometric shapes.
Oh, well, just hold on to your hats because it's getting sexier.
Whoa, now.
A parabola is not even a shape.
His pubic hair is red.
What?
His erect penis is a surprise. Although I have imagined what they would feel like. Read about them, seen them represented on toilet walls and magazines. I didn't see it before he entered me. But afterwards, it is small and sticky and amusing.
Like the gobstopper from before.
Through what they say, you never see it coming.
I want to touch it, but I don't dare. I don't know the etiquette. He's 20 or more years older than me. This is sex.
Let me.
I mean, I'm glad someone's finally done a follow up to This Is England.
I was literally about to say that.
I was just thinking, this is brief.
Let me just consult my Debrett's penis etiquette. It is okay to touch the penis after sex, but only if it's passed to the right.
Oh.
Also, I'm just thinking, pain belongs to a subterranean world. Body is slack, quite short.
I just
had sex with Marvel Comics supervillain the Mole Man.
I was going to go with Gollum, but
I was thinking Gollum.
His body is weightless and slack, but it hurts when he enters her. I mean, does he have mass or not? If you're going to use the word parabola, you've got to have some sort of basic physics.
Oh,
know-how.
Wait, I know what this is. It's an adaptation of that one time Zeus turned into a gust of wind and knocked that woman up.
That would be better, because it is, most world religions consider it definitely a serious breach of etiquette to touch a god's wang.
Well, yeah, and not only that, I mean, it's Zeus, father of the gods. He can change it to any form he wants, but his real form, he's probably let himself go a bit since he became father of the gods.
He's got the dad bod of the gods.
I think there is a lot of shame attached to that. That's why you don't get it depicted on the Stations of the Cross.
Exactly. I know, all those images you see in ancient Greek mythology, they all have him with, like, you know, totally ripped, but that's probably not real. He's probably standing behind them with a club going, paint it right.
That guy just shows up to all the paintings wearing a muscle suit.
A little bigger, a little bit. I think we can afford to go a little bigger.
Finish this mural quickly. I can't keep my stomach sucked in much longer.
I mean, what is he? He's way past. He's hitting. If he was a human, he'd be hitting his 50s, 60s. He's got kids who are all grown up and they've got their own kids, and he's got great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids, so he's probably let himself go a lot.
Who is this, Zeus?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a few swans and whatnot as well. Few sheep.
Yeah. Well, that's when he was young and limber and could turn into a swan.
Now
hey, speaking of swans,
would
you like to hear The Paper Lovers by Gerard Woodward? It's a trick question, you're going to anyway.
I feel a touch of clairvoyance coming on.
He was aware that she was making a mewling sound as he put his lips to her tightened nipple and sucked. Her mouth was at his ear, her tongue travelling along its grooves, voice filling it. His mouth tugged at her, extended her. She snapped back.
What? Is she elastic?
She sounds it. I mean, if he's...
I think that's her neck breaking.
I was going to say, if he's at, like, chest level...
Yeah.
How is her mouth near his ear?
Unless he goes on sideways, maybe.
I can shed some light on this. There was a taste of something on his tongue. In his mind, he pictured her neck, her long neck. Her swan neck, her Alice in Wonderland neck, coiling like a serpent coiling down on him.
What?
No, I just want to point out, there is actually a demon in Japanese mythology who is basically a woman with a very, very long and twisty neck.
I can go one better. There is a Masters of the Universe character called Mechaneck.
Oh, yes.
The power of it that he can literally just extend his neck.
Or it could just be Zeus trying something new.
Yes. That took a turn.
Yeah. But don't worry, because she had found a way through his clothing and her fingers had lightly touched his cock. Slowly began to take a firmer hold. He wanted to cry like a baby. He felt helpless, as though his body had come undone, and she was fastening it. He felt as though he was bleeding somewhere. Then he felt powerful,
Yeah, I'll be
frantic. Would have kicked a door down.
Who comes up with this stuff?
You felt helpless in the face of this woman with the massive neck.
Also, Gerard Woodward, that's who comes up with this stuff.
So he felt helpless, but he could kick a door down.
But then he felt powerful. And as we all know, the one objective measure of feeling powerful is kicking down a door.
And also, the absolute humiliation that comes with failing to kick said door down. It's not as easy as it looks. Trust me, I've tried on more than one occasion.
There's several stories there.
If she'd had a shorter neck, does that mean that he might not be as powerful? He could maybe knock a pillow off the bed, or...
Is there some weird Samson thing going on there?
Yeah. Maybe if he, like, sucks on her nipple, her neck is normal length, but if he blows on it, it just extends out. Party vaza.
And then if he puts his fingers up and down the holes on her back, they can play a tune.
See, that whole bit where his mouth is tugging on her and everything, and then he's got the taste of something in his, you know, on his tongue. My first thought was jelly tots. My second thought was, hang on, how much damage has he done?
My first thought was regret.
Wow, so we've established this woman is like a human piccolo.
Are you on about the instrument or are you on about the character from Dragon Ball?
I mean, I impressed you with Sweet Bro and Hella Jeff. I'm not going to step outside my cultural comfort zone twice in one episode.
Because if it's a character from Dragon Ball, it just makes it even better.
Right, fair enough.
Imagine how the scene ends, just almost there, almost there, almost. Do, 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 do,
She reached such heights of ecstasy, she started playing the riff from She Was Shot by the Beastie Boys.
Right, come on, we've had our fun. Now it's time to keep going. Okay. Got three left.
Is this you talking, or is this another excerpt from the books?
Possibly both. So this is Connect by Julian Goff. He drops the bra to the floor, looks up into her eyes. It's too much. He kisses her chin, her mouth, and then their tongues touch. Oh, too much. He slips his lips free with a soft suck, moves up to kiss her strong nose on one side, then the other. It's hard and soft at once. He moves back down till he is level with her breasts. They're small, she says, surprisingly shy, apologetic. They're perfect, he says. He kisses them, teases the nipple with his lips. It's so soft. And then suddenly hard. Wow. He sucks on the hard nipple. Which I'm pretty sure is like just an updated version of one of those children's books. He has never done this before, and yet...
Really? You do surprise me.
And yet, no wait, of course, it is totally familiar. That's where this is going, boys and girls.
I have done much sex in my past. Please ignore previous suggestion.
Oh no. Oh no. You see, it's the first thing he ever did.
What?
Feels what? The huge what? 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 In meaning in status. It is as though he has grown up in a single suck.
Everything
transformed, and yet nothing has changed at all.
When did he become
sucks
Oedipus?
He sucks a nipple as he lies on a bed. And it's 18 years later. And he sucks at a nipple as he lies on a bed. And his childhood falls away from him. Like a burned out booster stick from a rocket. It's fuel used up. He is now in orbit around a different planet.
What?
Because ladies, don't you love it when he goes, just like mummy.
Yeah, very uncomfortable territory here.
Yeah, it's like the tin drum or something.
I'm confused by the rockets and the planet thing. What's going on?
Yeah, you think that started out reasonably normal, didn't yes. it?
Yeah.
I think
and then it sort of went into that sort of Takashi Miike Gozu segment.
It was I think it's the word wow. Wow. That's when it suddenly disappeared. It went from like normal kind of writing to teenager.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is the running theme of this year, isn't it?
It's just think maybe like what happened, see, was that Julian Goff wrote that first bit and then some 13-year-old read it and just wrote underneath it, wow, and kind of carried on.
Nobody picked it up in the edit.
And then he got a bit bored and was like, yeah, this sex is all fine, but what about rockets?
Yeah, like a rocket, yeah.
Let's make this sci-fi now. Let's bring in some aliens and some spaceships.
Guys, I'm trying to write this down. What does everyone think was the sexiest dinosaur?
Oh, no, I'm just waiting for the lightsaber reference.
Incidentally, it's the Velociraptor ovs.
He's probably got, like, rocket wallpaper or something, and that inspired him.
Yep.
He's still on his wall.
Their sex was like a baby mobile. I don't know how, but I'm just looking around and crying. Having sex with her was like my childhood teddy, Mr. Snugglekins. It was just like that.
Oh, creepy.
Disturbing.
There was a lot of detail, a lot of repeated use of the word suck, funnily enough.
Yeah. It is a very sucky excerpt.
Yeah.
It is indeed. I see what you did there. Mm. It's about sucking, and it's also bad.
If it was the Bad Sucks Award, then maybe that would have won.
Oh, he certainly did suck.
Fortunately, this next one is not about sucking, but it does still suck.
Right.
This is the one that, to be honest, I'm surprised didn't clinch it. Okay. This is Scoundrels, The Hunt for Hands Clap.
What?
By,
what?
Oh no, it gets better. By Major Victor Cornwall.
Oh, good Major, grief.
And Major Arthur St. John Trevelyan.
What?
No. Oh, no. What? This isn't going to be military sex.
It's a double major.
This is very regimented sex approaching, I feel.
I can picture exactly what they both look like now. I don't even want to Google their names. It'll disappoint me.
I really want this excerpt to start off with. Turn up!
So, Graham, I need you to take that picture you have of them and keep it firm in your head. As I yell out, empty my tanks.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'd begged breathlessly as once more she began drawing me deep inside her pleasure cave.
Oh, God. No.
Her vaginal ratchet
moved
satina-like waves. Slowly chugging my organ as a boa constrictor swallows its prey. Soon I was locked in, balls deep.
No!
Ready to be ground down by the enameled pepper mill within her.
What?
Oh, God. What? Enameled? What?
It's not even a metaphor. It's literally up there.
Original enamel.
Peppermill.
Peppermill. That's how I built a sex robot.
Breathtaking. Andrew, I want to ask you to read it again.
Wow.
So much I missed.
Okay, let's go through this slowly, gang.
Okay. So I've got my pen and paper, carry on.
The step one was empty my tanks, I'd begged breathlessly. As once more she began drawing me deep inside her pleasure cave.
My favourite attraction at Chessington World of Adventure.
Never mind that. Disneyland, we're opening one for Pirates of the Caribbean.
I don't know. I like the pleasure cave, but I also quite enjoy her vaginal ratchet.
See, that one...
moved in concertina-like waves.
I am confused by that whole thing. That whole thing. I know what a ratchet is, and I know what a concertina is, and I don't think the two go together.
You know what I think you need, Rob, is a good metaphor to make sense of this.
So, see, is there one approaching?
Yes, because, see, this concertina-like waves, they were slowly chugging my organ as a boa constrictor swallows its prey.
See, if you use the word chugging, I think, you know, downing a pint. I don't think boa constrictor.
Oh, like a fun, whimsical steamboat.
Yes.
Which would make sense, because there is concertina music playing.
Is he having sex with a steamboat?
It's the porn parody of Fitzcarraldo. Fitzcarraldo.
There we go. There's the Graham references we know and love. I was just going to go for the new hit song by The Lonely Islands, I'm in a boat.
I'm in a boat. Don't you ever forget. Oh. It's interesting how, like, this author and then the one previously that was concerned about the sleeping woman never releasing his penis. Serious issues about, like, you know, losing their penis.
Oh, this guy seems...
But speaking of, I feel like something I didn't quite clock on last time was, yeah, soon I was locked in, balls deep.
Yeah. I mean, that's really lazy, isn't it?
I would be terribly concerned if the insides were like a pepper mill and you were...
I guess that's how you get balls deep, isn't it? It's just as it's slowly worn away.
It's ground to powder. He's been desiccated again.
It's like a generation of writers who lost their virginity to a Henry Hoover.
I'll never forget my first love, Henry.
Is that why he's smiling all the time?
Oh, boy. That was amazing. And
didn't that win?
Just to clarify, I always pictured both of the authors as looking like Sir Talbot Buxomly from Blackadder the Third.
Yes.
Excellent.
Which one was he?
He was the incredibly lazy MP for Rotten Borough who died while they were trying to get him on side.
I saw him. I saw these two as the two airmen, which has ruined the two airmen for me. Yeah. Armstrong and Miller.
Yeah. Isn't it though?
Isn't it though?
They could also be the two airmen from Allo Allo.
Equally, yeah.
They spend a lot of time in France, so they think they know how to write about sex now.
Mm. Maybe that's it. Maybe they were writing what they thought was French.
I'm sure this sounds better if you say it in a French accent.
How you say les balls deep.
And tear my tanks, I'd beg breathlessly. And once more, she began drawing my deep inside her pleasure cave.
No,
feels very bad.
God, it's no wonder they've been getting a bit feisty in Paris recently, isn't it?
Her concertinery ratchet. Come here with your sexy concertina ratchet.
Yeah, baby, let me get balls deep in that enameled pepper mill.
Oh, I hate you all. Now I've got Ainsley with this Percy like Pepper. Hand
inside that she just likes to go chunk, 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 chunk.
It's got a sting as well.
Now you said, first it was Ainsley Harriet with Percy Pepper. Now I've gone the little train that could.
Oh, wow. So something beat that.
Wow.
Yep. And I think the way this is going to work is I'm going to read all of this kind of as written.
Okay.
This is Katarina by James Frey.
Oh, wow. James Frey is the guy who wrote A Million Little Pieces, and he sort of touted that as his real memoir of how he got off drugs. And he actually tried to sell it as having like therapeutic value for addicts before it was revealed to be totally made up, self-aggrandizing rubbish. And he's just a terrible person in so many ways. So I'm looking forward to this.
Wow.
Okay, good. And remember, guys, I think I'm going to just need to do this one start to finish.
Fair enough. Okay, we're ready.
Okay. Won't interrupt.
Big breath. I'm hard and deep inside her f***ing around the bathroom sink, her tight little black dress still on her thong on the floor, my pants at my knees, our eyes locked, our hearts and souls and bodies locked. Come inside me. Come inside me. Come inside me. Blinding, breathless, shaking, overwhelming, exploding, white God, I come inside her, my cock throbbing. We're both moaning, eyes, hearts, souls, bodies one. One. White. God. Come. 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 I close my eyes, let out my breath. Come.
Is this from, like, the Ernest Klein School of Literature?
Did he have a word count he needed to hit?
Yeah, that first segment behind before the come inside me's, that has one comma and one full stop. And it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 26, 27, 28, 30, 31, 32, 33.
This is still more stimulating 36, than the
echo. I was just going to say.
39 words long, that sentence.
Never sounded sexier, Andrew.
Oh, in which case, come inside me. Come inside me. Come inside me. One white God. Come, come, come.
Didn't Throbbing Gristle have minor hit with that in the 80s?
I was getting shades of We Will Rock You from that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure James Frey just fed 100 erotic novels into a spam bot and this is what happened.
I like the bits where he's talking about how even though it's him and her, when they're having sex, they're like one. It's a great insight that's never been written before.
Hey, no, there's still two, because it's the one of them and the white God.
Oh, yeah.
That's racist.
It would explain so much if James Frey worshipped his own semen.
No, that's totally the wrong image. No, I can't say it. I'm not allowed to say it. Yeah. Not allowed to say it. Brain, I hate you. Something to do with Popeye, I'll give you that. Let's leave it at that.
Maybe all the drugs has just addled his brain.
Well, it clearly happened because he's a colossal lightweight who lied about it all.
I was going to say, or maybe mine, because I'm sure I just had an acid flashback.
Did he just lie about the recovery, or did he lie about the drugs as well?
Basically, everything in it was exaggerated to make him seem like more of a hardcore drug addict than he actually was. And, you know, he had that kind of populist attitude towards medicine where it's like, a bit of willpower, that'll sort you out. And it's like, but yeah, it will if your main experience with drugs is having like half a Watney's Party 7.
1982.
I smoked one marijuana, and if I can give that to you, you can give up your life on heroin addiction.
Yep.
Also, I do have some bad news. In reading that, we have accidentally summoned the White God into our universe. and he will be spreading his sticky chaos across the land.
I should have realised this feature would end in Lovecraftian territory.
I mean, it pretty much started and continued through most of the middle with it.
I mean, what do you expect? It started with
the very long neck.
It started with Murakami, and, you know, the Japanese do like their tentacles.
Oh, dear. well, that I want to say that was quite the ride, but actually I don't want to say that.
Yeah, here it was certainly no roller coaster of sexual excitement, that's for sure.
I think the mages were robbed.
I'll be honest, I actually preferred the mages.
I think I preferred that one as well.
I think the mages was worse, yeah.
I think that aside from thinking that the mages were worse, I would like it if James Frey could say that he was like the runner-up in the Bad Sex Awards, if like that was the closest he got to literary glory.
Well, I agree with you for one particular reason. Now he's also, like Morrissey, he is an award-winning author now.
Yes.
And I would prefer it if those... And I would love it if those two mages actually did have, like, full-on handlebar mustaches and stuff like that. And they attended the award ceremony and got up on stage and were just genuinely having a laugh about it.
Yeah.
Because if they've been in the military...
Penny farthings.
Yeah. Well, if they've been in the military, they've probably got a decent sense of humour.
I mean, you'd have to write that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they're being serious...
My tanks.
If they're being serious, well, that's another matter.
I've just got it. I actually thought they were talking about, you know, sprinkling the old Thompsons round the back.
So, I've heard them called Johnsons, never Thompsons.
Oh, that was absolutely incredible.
I feel like I need a cigarette.
Yeah.
I feel powerful enough to kick a door down.
I feel like before we all have to go away and concentrate on a window for a bit.
I just want to, you know, those organs with the concertina in the middle. I just want to get one of those and play it now.
Yeah, I just want to walk on the streets. Yeah. I just want to walk on the streets now while the sad Incredible Hulk music plays.
Oh, should we move on to presents?
Yes.
Yay, presents! Yes.
Because, listeners, just to set this up, we've done a thing that's kind of like Secret Santa, except we all know who's buying for who, so it's more of a sort of democratically transparent, accountable Santa, which is what you need in these times.
Yes.
We have done it using alphabetized names, which once I'd worked out what order our names came in the alphabet, we all bought for the person who was next in line. So that means, Sarah, you bought for Andrew, yes?
I did.
Do you want to say anything before he unwraps it?
Yes, well, I think it will appeal to Andrew.
That's a good start, good start.
Yes. I'm just going to sort of, yeah. Just...
Does it involve horrible, horrible smut?
No, actually. God, there's a mild spattering. To use a strange metaphor.
See, right now, even those aren't a good choice of words.
Sorry.
Well, I'm reaching my hand into the bag and I'm going to pull this out.
Okay.
I've got... Oh, there's lots of words on the title page. This is Whiffle Lever to Fall. Alex, Death Stars, and Dreamy-Eyed Nostalgia at the Strangest Sci-Fi Conventions. Ooh. Ooh, that's... I actually quite like the sound of that.
Good.
That's Bob Fisher's book, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
He sort of goes around a number of conventions throughout a year, I think, a year in his life. And it's also intersected with lots of personal stories, and it's lovely to read. And it's not sort of for particular obsessive fans. It's more of a general read, I think. But you also learn a lot along the way, and you get a few star turns as well. So it's got a lovely sense of humour. Really lovely.
Oh, yeah, I do really enjoy hearing just weird stories from sci-fi conventions, because there are lots.
Yes.
And yeah, I am fully aware now that there is going to be smut in this.
There's no smut like sci-fi convention smut.
Thank God. Yes. So, Andrew, you bought for me, yes?
Yeah, and now that Sarah's got me this, like, genuinely nice and thoughtful gift, I'd... can I have mine back, please, Graham?
You can't have it back because of how beautifully you've wrapped it.
No, how beautifully I shoved it, Rob, and told him to get someone to wrap it for me.
Which I didn't do. I just put, like, loads of tape around it and a really crappy bow.
You wrapped
around
it.
What we need to explain is the front page of a big issue.
Yes.
Yeah, but yes, I think I might need to explain a bit of the context behind how I bought this.
Okay.
Because now, obviously, my first idea was we're buying gifts, buy some filthy, filthy smut for Graham.
Cost.
But turns out I was actually incredibly hampered by the fact that it needed to be a physical book and not an ebook. That ruled out, you know, forced gay by aliens, the big book of lesbian horse stories, and the entire Chuck Tingle oeuvre.
Of which there are so many.
So many. Yes. So there I was on Amazon, I think, kind of forlornly looking at the £70 price tag for a physical copy of How to Avoid Huge Ships. When on a whim, I scrolled down to the recommendations, and lo, it was there, shining out like a beautiful beacon.
Well, there's nothing madder than an algorithm, so I'm very excited by this.
And, like, just to be fair, it might not be entirely within the show's remit, but it's just one of those things that, upon seeing it, I could not buy.
I mean, considering that the show doesn't have a remit, that's quite impressive.
It's kind of more of a textbook than a fiction book.
It's a book, though, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is certainly a book with pages made of paper on a subject.
I will unwrap it close to the microphone, so listeners, it'll be like you're here with me.
Oh, please do, Graham.
You should have a YouTube video doing this. This is a thing.
I'm so excited.
Unwrapping videos. They're massive.
First reaction is a laugh. That's always good.
Graham, please explain what I've bought for you.
What Andrew has bought for me is a copy of James A. Yanis' classic book, Collectible Spoons of the Third Reich.
Collectible Spoons of the Third
Reich. Oh my God, I've actually seen this advertised. How is that possible?
I'm reading the back and it's amazing. This book includes many spoon types, for example, Hitler's personal silverware, Red Cross, SS, U-47, etc. It specifies how many words are in the book, which is, that's new.
That's interesting. That's how you best judge a book, how many words, you know.
Yes. Wow. And the thing that I love most about this is we're reviewing all of these.
Oh God!
So we've got your Nazi spoons, Graham.
I've got to admit, I'm such an ignoramus about this that I'm skimming through it, and a lot of the photos look pretty similar. They seem to mostly be just spoons.
So just think, once you've read it once, you can go back through, and now with your fully trained eye, You can spot the subtle differences between spoon types.
Can I ask, does it come with a checklist?
It comes with Czechoslovakia as a free gift.
On the downside, I think Andrew may be on some sort of list now.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
All I know is if Graham goose steps into the next meeting, we know who to blame.
While playing the spoons.
Goose stepping while playing the spoons.
Yes.
Oh.
In our Facebook chat, there has been a lot of back and forth about whether people prefer fiction, non-fiction, whether you have a Kindle. When I was tasked with buying Rob something, my thought process was, I was in Waterstones and I thought, oh yeah, that.
Oh, that's such a great journey.
It is. I feel like we were all on this journey with you.
So, Rob, if you'd like to take it away.
Okay. Opening.
That's and Graham's present was properly wrapped.
It was properly wrapped. It wasn't like mine.
It wasn't like a last minute thing.
Right, let's have a look. What are you trying to say, like?
I'm intrigued.
Apparently this was long listed for the Bailey Gifford Prize for Nonfiction in 2016. So
called because you have to drink a lot of Baileys before it makes sense.
It's by Charles Foster, Being a Beast, an intimate and radical look at nature.
Okay.
What are you trying to say there, Graham?
I was first drawn to this when it was in hardback and it had a cover picture of the author in a field full of goats on all fours with little stilts on. And it's got very good results, but it is literally about him trying to live like animals.
Yep. He lived. And just from the back, this is immediately sounding like my kind of book. Charles Foster wanted to know what life was really like for a badger, an otter, a deer, a fox, a swift. So he tried it. He lived in a hole with a badger for weeks, eating earthworms. As an otter, he swam the rivers of North Devon at night. Like an urban fox, he scavenged from the dustbins of London's East End, and he was hunted as a red deer might be in the Scottish Highlands. He followed a swift's migration route from Oxford to West Africa, a new departure for nature writing, and an intimate look at life in the wild. Being a Beast brings together neuroscience, psychology, natural history, and memoir, connecting with the beast in us all.
I think you will find I am not eating from a bin. I am a fox now.
And the cover picture is of a deer with antlers that would terrify anybody going near it.
Yes.
And it doesn't look too happy about having its photo taken for the cover of this book.
What it doesn't tell you is that that's an author picture.
For maybe the deer did have to, like, finish it off after the author was almost definitely killed.
Or is it some kind of zombie deer, like in that Canadian Christmas with David Cronenberg?
Yes.
Which I'm still trying to find a copy of, guys, so don't worry. I will track it down.
Oh, excellent.
Just a little question. How did he live like a swift, exactly?
I was just getting to that. I bet he built a suit like Condor Man.
That's been very well received, although I just can't picture. I can't get past the idea of someone just sitting upright in bed and saying, I'm an otter now!
Live with it.
I want to know the thought process behind why he decided to do it. And it's definitely not a normal thought process. You know, you suddenly get up, have your breakfast and watch a bit of TV, maybe go to the office, and then at some point throughout the day you think, I'm going to be an otter.
But who hasn't dreamed of running with the badgers?
Maybe because badgers don't run.
Yes.
I've dreamed of running with the chimpanzees one time. I was a chimpanzee and I just ran through the grass, and it was very liberating.
That's good.
I didn't eat anything, though.
And then you looked in the mirror and actually you were the Shia LaBeouf all along.
Oh, right. So, I should explain this then. I'm a big fan of certain things, and certain things just make me laugh. And okay. I saw this. I actually have my own copy of this, and I looked at it, and I thought, you know, got to get something for Sarah, and I think this would be perfect given her sense of humour. So...
Okay, well, I'm looking at a package that's been very carefully wrapped with a very innovative covering. It's an Asda carrier bag.
Yep. It's a bag for life, though.
Oh, yay! Oh, I wanted this as well. Well done, man.
Well, I don't think anyone's ever been that excited for a bag for life.
I'm truly excited by it. I love this. I'm holding a hardback copy of Kunk on Everything.
Yes. Oh.
Yes. And it's an encyclopedia. Shall I dip in at random and read something out?
Yes, go on. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Black Death. The Black Death wasn't anywhere near as much fun as it sounds. And it sounds like absolutely no fun at all. That's how awful it was. Like, if you had the word death and you thought, no, not nearly awful enough, how can I make this much worse? You might put the word black in front of it, same as if you had the word leftovers, and put the word value in front of it. It'd really ruin your sales. The Black Death was a plague, not a metaphorical plague like a metaphorical plague, but an actual plague made of plague. The symptoms were disgusting. Discoloured buboes grew in the groin and armpits, making even a light workout next to impossible. And it cut through the population like a deranged hairdresser. Oh, Robert, thank you. Thank you so much.
I think you'd
really
like
enjoy
it.
This.
I think I need to buy this book for myself.
I think everyone needs their own copy of Kunk on Everything. I think at times when you're feeling down or something like that, I've been doing this since I bought it. Every so often, I'll just be staring out the window, you know, trying to take my mind off things.
Feeling weightless, but also like I could kick a door down.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just go, right, I need something just to even me out, just to lighten the mood. Kunk on Everything. Now that I say it like that.
Oh, excellent. David Bowie, pasta, pornography. Pornography, to go with the show as
the
a whole.
Yes.
A niche hobby, basically extreme people watching. That used to be restricted to the top shelf of the newsagent, but which has really caught on and now forms about 110% of the internet.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Oh, the maths in this is better than that bit about the parabola. We've got Nigel Farage, Frankenstein, Computers, Corbyn, Jazz, Jesus, Olympics, Quorn, Danny Dyer, Sausages.
Oh, I think the Danny Dyer one's pretty good.
Shall I read it out?
Go on.
Yeah.
Okay, 97. I'll finish off with Danny Dyer. Dyer, Danny. Danny Dyer is probably the greatest actor of his generation.
You see, it's already perfect, isn't it?
Born Daniel, Dandy Dan. Sorry, born Daniel, Dandy Dan.
I didn't realise this would be such a test of endurance.
Oh dear.
Just like any Danny Dyer movie.
I told
Born
you it was
Daniel Dandy Dan D Dyer. On his birthday in 1977, he rose to fame. His first big film appearance was as one half of the title role in Human Trafficking. But he is probably best known for his tear-breaking performance as landlord Mick Carter in the never-ending TV drama EastEnders.
Sorry, tear-breaking.
Tear-breaking, yeah. Actual tear-breaking. Dyer brings his tremendous sensitivity and range to his work. In the epic romantic film Run For Your Wife, he brings everything you'd expect to the character of John Smith. And when he appeared as Danny Dyer in Who Do You Think You Are, critics praised the moving scenes in which he discovered that he'd had ancestors. He is also known as a fiercely outspoken commentator and has famously suggested that cocaine is an excellent reward for a job well done, that cutting your ex's face is a good way of getting over her, and that breaking Mark Kermode's nose is a good way of getting over him. He should definitely be the next James Bond.
Of course, if you are planning to serve your coke, why not try dishing it up with an OG-29DR Deutsche Reichsbahn, the take from Goering's private dining car.
You see, these books are already coming in useful.
Well, if that hasn't got people excited about tuning in next year, I don't know what will.
Oh, gosh.
But until then, listeners, that's Christmas sorted, isn't it? Who cares about Strictly You're Out? We've got that.
Yeah, well, we know that, like I said, if Graham Goose steps into the next meeting, we know who to blame. And if I suddenly develop some weird wilderness fetishism,
yeah,
you also know who to blame.
Yeah, and if I start yelling about weird convention sex, it's probably business as usual.
In my case, it's probably extreme tree hugging.
Yes.
And if I take up a hobby of wandering through the hillsides talking about stuff, then you'll know that I've been very influenced by this too.
Indeed, indeed. But until then, that's been Literary Loitering for 2018. I've been Graham.
I've been Andrew.
I've been Sarah.
And I've been Rob.
See you next year.
Bye.
Thanks for listening and have a Merry Christmas.